Evening, Robert.
Good evening, Frank.
Yes, we've spent all day trying to get back here to do this. We never made it last week.
Yeah, we spent all day trying to do it and the next day trying to do it. It's all right.
And
I think they'll forgive us.
For the mean emails I get, I'm sorry, guys. We really try to keep up on this. We do our best. But sometimes it's just not as easy as you might think. And we're very short-handed at the store. I guess we're going to have to break down and hire somebody.
Yeah, I think so.
So.
But that's kind of a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's really better than going, gee, I guess we're going to have to lay somebody off.
Right.
That's, I guess, a lot better problem than I thought.
Yeah.
So.
Both are annoying, but I'd rather have this problem than the other way.
Yeah, we don't have enough people to do next week. We got to be at Charlotte County Boat Show. We've got radio shows to do. We've got all this stuff to do, and we do not have the personnel for it.
No. It's going to be squeaky tight.
Oh, well. Got some coffee. Finally able to sit down and in our chairs, kind of relaxing. I know Vinny sent me, I forgot. I was setting up the machine, and the Fort Myers store actually sent in a fishing report.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I can't wait for all this junk. I opened my email program, and okay, almost done. Come on.
On the brightest side, we survived the Christmas and the New Year, so Happy New Year to everybody.
That's right. This is our first show in the new year.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot all about that. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year, everybody on the planet. Happy New Year to you.
That's pretty good. The weather's been beautiful here. You know, we had our first cold front today. It's the first one in, what, over two weeks? So that's pretty nice. You know, a little breezy out there, but a little beautiful change in the weather because it's been kind of unseasonably warm.
It's been warm, and there is a few people that I don't think understand that you have to understand the water's still cold.
Right.
That's, I think the biggest thing. Somebody else has got it. Email here that another guy's closing up his bait shop in Fort Myers.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Your heart monitor's beeping again.
Yeah, it's the people walking around or doing something. I don't know.
It's all good.
It could be that thing blowing in the wind.
Yeah, that could be.
So, anyway, Peace River, what's going on up there?
It's actually been pretty decent up there. A lot of little snook, even a few really large snook. There has been a couple juvenile tarpon being seen up there, in particular around Shell Creek. And then a handful of redfish. I had a couple miscellaneous reports of redfish in the 18 to 25 inch range. Not real big ones, but at least nice sized ones. And there was some trout up there up until about 4 days ago. That was the last fresh report I had up there by the power lines.
Right.
So, you know, doing good. Not great, but the weather's been so beautiful, everyone hasn't had to run up there, so I haven't had as many reports as we normally would get this time of year. You know, usually it's blowing and cold, so a lot of people hide up there, so we get a lot more variable reports.
Yeah, I get that. I-75?
Just been some black drum. That's about the only thing I've heard of. And some duck hunters, so be careful up there. Don't be surprised if you hear some shotgun blasts up there going off. One guy said he got the snot scared out of him the other day. Wasn't even paying attention, just working around the mangroves, and all of a sudden, guys open fire.
Yeah, that'll wake you up.
Yeah, it really will. Jump.
You sit there, you know, casting lure, and everything's nice and quiet. And splash, ripple, ripple. Ba-bam, ba-bam, ba-bam!
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
That's how I get woke up every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. I've had a couple moments where I've jumped at the house because I can hear them from my house out in the harbor. last week it sounded like there was a guy like right at the end of the canal, so that just noise just traveled straight down the canal and made me flinch.
Oh, they go out right in the middle of the river there, mm-hmm. between, you know, Punta Gorda and Harbor Heights, and they let it rip. And I tell guys, if you're going to go out duck hunting there, take your fishing poles, and just sit there, dress for fishing, with your fishing poles out, the ducks will fly right over the boat, they'll fly right at you. But if you're all there in hunter stuff and camouflage, you got all the reeds and everything on your boat, they take one look at that and they haul butt the other way.
Yeah, that island doesn't belong there.
No. What's that through there? Oh, thunders. Yeah. It's funny. I'll be out there fishing. They'll fly right over the boat. I mean, 10 feet over the boat. They don't care.
Nope. No, it's pretty funny. I think you're onto something there.
I can tell you, if I was going to go duck hunting, which I'm not... Not because I have anything against duck hunting, it's because I can't tell one from the other definitively.
No, neither can I.
And you better be an encyclopedia of duck person, because you shoot the wrong duck, you're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, 41 Bridge.
41 Bridge has had a bunch of snook there in the evenings and through the nighttime. And then in the early mornings, there's been some oddball trout, some Spanish, or not Spanish mackerel. Jeez. Few sheep's head, few black drum. You know, it hasn't been on fire, but it's been consistent. There has been a couple oddball reports of trout, but very scattered.
I get that. All right, that's going to take us over to Lashley Pier.
Been some mangrove snapper and a few black drum and an occasional sheep's head there. The trout that the guy caught the other day was a little wee fellow. He was like 8 inches long. He was kind of cute. Took a picture of it because he was excited. It was his first saltwater fish in Florida. So he was pretty excited, but he wanted to verify that it was positively a trout.
It's kind of cool. Like, we had that lady in today, and she wasn't, you know, she was just so excited. She caught a little, like, 15, 20-inch snook. It was just raving, having a ball.
Well, it's just like that kid the other night when we were walking out the door. He was all excited about his first snook. You know, it was a nice little, I don't know, 26, 28-inch snook, but it was his first snook. He's totally excited. It was awesome.
Yeah.
That stuff makes it worth it. I don't care what the size is or the species is. Your first fish, you're totally excited about it. I want to see it.
And I'll tell you, one of the weird things that you run into at this store, and it could be every shop's this way, but I don't know. But I know in here, we have so many women that are really, really, really into fishing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times their husbands really, they might fish a little bit or even not at all.
Right.
But they're like into it. I mean, hardcore. It's just something that you just don't expect. I mean, it's perfectly normal, because I don't think for the last 10 years you can spend an hour in the store and not have, you know, women or kids and all the guys in there, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
But anyway, Bayshore Pier.
I have not gotten any decent report off of there in a while.
Okay. And just a second. Hopefully this is still working. And it worked. Okay. Port Charlotte Canals.
Depending on the canal you go into, a lot of mangrove snapper, quite a few snook, mostly smaller guys, jacks up to like 10 pounds. Been a few juvenile tarpon, some black drum of assorted sizes from 2 pounds to 30 pounds. And I got a couple reports of some guys got into some sand bream way up back in the, by the Triple Lakes kind of area. Forget what that canal system's called way back there where Timmy Spain fishes or lives.
That's the Manchester Ackerman.
Okay. But way far in the back.
Mm-hmm.
No,
should I fix this? I wrote lots and I spelled it LTOS. Should I leave that in a secret code?
Leave it a secret code.
HDE. It's a code.
That's a code.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Eljobean's
been doing pretty good. Sheep's head have started to move in there in more consistent numbers. Not giant ones, but legal sized ones. Been a handful of trout there. Mangrove snapper of assorted sizes. The guys who have been doing best on the mangroves there are catching them on those silver sides. Everyone else is doing better on shrimp with the other fish, but the silver sides, those bigger mangs, have been working good. And I've had a couple jacks and a couple of black drum. So a little mixed bag going on there. Not as many diehards fishing there at night with the snook season kind of closing, and it's been wishy-washy anyway there.
You know, what's really weird is the silver sides and how much the mangrove snappers love those things.
Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable. It is the secret cult bait for pier fishermen, dock fishermen, because if you've got some shrimp, some silver sides, you're probably going to have a fairly good day.
Yeah.
Because whether it's snappers or sheephead or whatever, they're going to eat one or the other.
Yeah.
And nobody knows about it. Nobody comes in and asks for them. The guys who are fishing them, is because their buddy brought them in, showed them, said, here, this one.
You know? That's and pretty funny.
It's like, you don't say it out loud. Silver sides.
Yeah.
It's a little tiny bait fish.
A little speakeasy. I think a lot of people are intimidated because they look at it and go, what am I going to do with that little tiny thing? It's same size or bigger than some of the shrimp. You know, it would work pretty good.
Well, for me, what do I care if the fish are going to eat it? You know, right. I see some of these guys that, oh, that's too small. I can't. Well, what are you catching? Nothing. Oh, you're right. Why would you bother?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I was telling a guy, I forget about something. It was his fuel filter. I said, well, if that boat's been sitting 2-3 months, the first thing I do is pull a fuel filter off, squeeze the bulb, you know, with a jar there to get some of the gas on the lines, and then put a new fuel filter in, write the data on it. Because if you're using a boat every week or two, you don't really have to change the fuel filters much. But that water separator, when it just sits there for 3 months, you really want to try and change that. And just saves you a lot of problems on your motor, hundreds of dollars in repairs. And then I was telling him about zincs on the back of his pontoon boat. Yeah. And he's like, well, you know, I put one on the motor and I did this. I said, well, if it was me, I would go and just drill a couple holes through the aluminum under the water where it's not going to do any damage, you know, back where you hang the motor, and put a zinc on there. And that way it won't eat any of the pontoon boat, and just change it once it gets pitted. Well, you know, I've got the ones in there. I said, you're all set, bud. I wouldn't listen to me either. You know, you got it down, Pat. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't sell the zincs. He said, well, you got them to sell? I said, no. So if I'm not trying to sell you something, and I'm just telling you something that may save you thousands of dollars in repairs.
Right.
Because salt water, electricity from the motor, the battery, and aluminum. This is a good combination.
Very good.
Yeah. This will never cause a problem.
Not at all.
It won't just eat the pontoons up and all that. Where if you put like a $5 or $10 zinc on it, and every time it starts getting pitted, replace it and save yourself thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Why would you listen to me?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Myakka River.
Myakka River's been doing fairly well over towards the cutoff. That whole bay in front of Tippecanoe and the north end of the cutoff has had a few trout in it, quite a few redfish along the bushes, along with an assortment of sizes of snook. And then across over on the other side, closer towards Cattle Dock, basically between Eljo Bean and Cattle Dock,
right,
there's been a couple schools of big jacks cruising along that flat. A couple guys have been seeing them pretty regularly during the daytime cruising through there. At first I thought they were a mullet, but the one guy actually brought in a picture and it was about a 5-pound jack.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I just really wish they would put an end to make jack revel where you can't net them.
Right.
Stop that. They're worth way more recreationally than they are food fish. Now, I know they get $1.50, $1.60 a pound for them, and that's good money for a fish. But, man, the state could make so much more money recreational, you know, fishing jacks.
Oh, yeah.
If you could go out there and just rail on a school of jacks, that's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars in charter fees and hotels and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Absolutely.
All right, South Gulf Cove.
South Gulf Coast had some actual bass fishing in there, way in the back. There's been some bass. A couple of guys have been bluegill fishing and Mayan cichlid fishing. Other than that, I haven't heard much. Oh, wait a minute. I did hear that the locks were broken last week. I don't know if they're still, if they got them fixed and reopened or not, but they were saying it was somewhere expected around the first to be fixed, if I remember right. So it might be questionable whether anyone can get in or out of there, which is never good.
The only good thing is when those locks get broken, if they're stuck open a little bit,
right,
the fishing gets pretty good around there.
Right.
So if you happen to be going by there on the Mayaca River, just swing in. If the locks are a little bit open, flip some baits in there.
What do the locks really do, though? With all those mangroves along the west wall where saltwater gets through, is it really making that significant of a difference?
No, it just makes the state feel better.
Oh, okay.
That's another one of those do-gooder, oh, gee, we're saving the world things.
Okay.
It really don't do a damn thing. Because there's like six creeks where water comes in and out of there outside of the locks. Now, they're shallow, little tiny creeks. You can't never get a boat through them. I don't even know if you get a kayak through them. But the fish can go in and out.
Yeah.
And the water goes in and out. And what they're trying to do is stop the water. Now, let's see. Why would you want to stop the water from coming in and out of the canals?
I don't know.
Makes, okay. Nope, don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
All right, West Wall.
West Wall, as you work your way down from, was that Trout Creek? Yeah, Trout Creek has had some redfish and some snook in it, but further south down towards that Blowdown Creek, that's kind of three quarters of the way down, isn't it, on the south?
Yeah.
Southern end? Some more redfish, snook, but there's been some trout hanging out straight out in front of it in the little trough out there. A couple guys have skipped some pompano, but haven't caught any, but they're seeing them. And then there has been a few bonnet heads as you work your way down a little bit further south, closer towards Cape Hayes there, but still on the west wall. So if you're drifting around out there for trout, don't be surprised if you pick up a little 2 or 3 foot bonnet head and along with it.
Okay. Alright, I sometimes wonder if I type, I pretty much bang on the keys. Can you hear that in the headphones?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But you're not the only one. I can hear it when Mike Heller used to do it. Josh does it. I think it's just a normal key tapping thing.
Yeah, I mean, but I got to hit them hard, cause especially in my left hand. I can't feel my fingertips anymore. It's really weird because the two that are usually really bad were fine for a while when I woke up, and my index finger, I couldn't feel it. It was really painful. And then it switched back from my index finger to my ring finger and middle finger. Yeah, it's just the top ends of them. It's all kind of like cross between frostbite and asleep.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That cold, terrible feeling.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah. It's just weird, but it's weird when you're trying to type. I type bad enough. Okay, Cape Hayes, I just hurt something. My wrist, my neck, my whatever. I hurt myself doing the construction.
You thought you were a pinata for a couple of weeks there out there?
No, only for a couple, what, 3 months?
3 months, give or take. Yeah.
So I did take, I averaged at least almost a day off a month.
Yeah.
So, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Okay, Cape Hayes.
Okay, Cape Hayes. A lot of small trout on it. There has been a few pompano, a couple reports of some flounder, some bonnet head sharks also been on it. And then over towards Muddy Bay, there's been some snook out there in front of the trough, and going into Muddy Bay, there's been some snook and some redfish in there. So kind of a good mixed little bag in that whole area. The only thing is the trout have all been small, but still fun to bend a rod. And it's cool this time of year because the water's clear, so you can see a lot of different little things around. So if you have family or visitors checking, you know, want to see some stuff, that's a fun area just to drift over and look.
Yeah, it's a really cool area just to see stuff because the water's nice and clear right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, people always talk about fish in the flats, but when you can actually go out, see them.
Right.
Gets exactly. A lot more intense.
Oh, it makes it so much cooler.
I had a couple in, and I'd taken them on a charter and I sucked. We really didn't catch much for fish that day. And but they had a great time because I was showing them all the different stuff around in the harbor and showing them this and that, and they really had a nice time. They really enjoyed the trip. They say it's one of their favorite trips, and I swear to God, we caught a few fish, but it was really bad.
Right.
And
sometimes those are the best memories, though.
Yeah, they had a great time. They really liked seeing all the different stuff that was out there. And they've been out and caught fish with other captains after I quit, but they still like that because literally it was one of those days where the fish weren't cooperating well, but everything was everywhere. You go out nice. And see from different birds and animals and fish and tarpon and just all kinds of stuff. Okay, anyway, Bow Bay, Turtle Bay.
That's probably one of the better places to fish right now.
Which one?
Both. Mixture of trout.
So you don't want to choose. Nope. You're unwilling to take a stand.
Nope.
You're not a bull bear or a turtle bear.
Nope. It seems to be the same number of fish coming from both from the reports I'm getting. You know, the sheep's head are up underneath the docks and along the mangroves. The trout are scattered throughout the whole area, but most of them are smaller. And the funny part is, most of those trout in there, the guys that are with the most success are actually catching those on paddle tails, you know, the little cow shad tails. Mm. They're doing better on those than they are shrimp. And then the been quite a few small snook in those back, farther back mangroves and creeks and stuff like that. And then there has been some decent mangrove snappers underneath the shad.
Have you heard about any color working better than another in the shad tails?
No. Guys have been all over the map on those. I think
I had a guy come in. I bought those candy corn just because I was trying to buy a little bit of more Mark Nickel stuff, and I kind of liked it because it was different. And a guy came in, he bought like two bags of it. He says, "Man, I bought this the other day just because I thought it looked kind of cool, and it's orange and yellow."
Mm-hmm.
And I was slaying them on it, you know, but, you know, I don't know what the heck that was. But it was the candy corn color.
Really?
And I bought it just on a whim, and it turned out he had done the exact same thing, bought it just, what the heck, I'll try it.
That's something and different and ugly, maybe they'll eat it.
Exactly.
Hey, we tell people all the time, you know, sometimes the weirdest, most unusual thing or something that nobody has bought in 20 years, try it again because the fish aren't familiar with it.
Well, look at the silly jigs.
Oh, my gosh.
I used to sell gazillions of those in the 80s and early 90s. And then 10 years went by. I mean, I think I had one bag actually, the lure in it actually fell out the bottom of the package. It was so old. And nobody would buy them. They wouldn't even look at them. You try and explain it. These are good lures. Nope. And all of a sudden, Silly Willie goes around and starts selling them. And all of a sudden, everybody's got to have them again. Everything old is new again.
Absolutely. That's pretty funny. You know, there's no way to really explain that, but it's pretty funny how that all works out. But the Silly Willy is by far the most jump out at you of all the lures that have kind of come back into fashion again. You know, hey, I like them. They're cheap, and they catch a lot of different things.
Yeah, it was one of the guys on the floor, customer came in, was saying, you know, he's going to go fly fishing. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys started saying, "Oh, okay, it's a shrimp pattern and this and that." And I said, "Excuse me, guys, hang on a minute. You're going in the canals and maybe off the beach somewhere?" He's like, "Yeah." I says, "Teasers." He's like, "What?" "A light one and a dark one. Catch all the fish you want." He said, "They're like $3 for a pack of two." I said, "They're going to catch fish. Put them on your fly rod. I heard you had a 7-weight. Perfect for this. Weight forward. Just toss them out and slow twitch them back in. Perfect size. You're going to catch a ton of. If you're in the canals, you see all the little tarpon. They eat them like crazy. And it's just a little teaser. And the only reason I know they worked is because I didn't have any flies. We were selling flies at the time. And I didn't have anything with me. Had my fly rod. Forgot to take flies. And I had one of those jigs, the silly jigs with the teaser on it. So I popped the teaser off it, tied it on, boom, boom, boom. I'm catching ladyfish, caught a couple little snook, had a great time. Took it back out, tried it on a little tarpon. Austin tried it on the tarpon. And selling those things, if somebody's new to the area and they just want something that'll catch some fish, you know, and if they're real hardcore fly fishermen, they're going to turn the nose up to it.
Right.
Because it's just a hook with some mylar around it. It doesn't look like a shrimp. It doesn't look like a white bait. It's basically just like a little bucktail almost, except it's mylar.
Right.
Simple, stupid, works.
Sometimes
catches
that's
fish.
All it takes.
It's cheap and it catches fish. What more do you want? I mean, I could see the guys not believing me if I was selling them a $10 fly.
Right.
But I'm going to make $3. And so that means I'm putting, what, maybe 80 cents in my pocket? So it's not like I'm getting rich off of that.
Right.
Simple, you'll catch fish, you'll have a good time.
There was a fly out in Arizona that they used to use in Lee's Ferry, and it was called a woolly booger.
Oh, I've thrown them. I've even had to tie them a couple times. That's a booger. I hate tying those.
Yeah, but the
funny thing, leave all the little legs sticking out.
Yeah. One guy said, well, I got sick and tired of that. He said, I went and bought some pipe cleaners. Long shank hook, just wrapped half a pipe cleaner around it, and I used a Sharpie and painted it black. He said, it worked most of the time. He said, I had maybe 10 cents into it and another 2 cents into the marker.
And what's funny is I told the guy, there's a fly shop right up the road over there. He says, what does he got? I said, I don't know, flies, rods and reels, you know, fly rods, flies. I said, it's a fly shop. I said, I've never been in it, but, you know, it's a regular fly shop. He says, I think I'll do good with this. His wife was a real trip. She was laughing because I was like, man, you know, I wish I could tell you. He's like, I said, just pick a light one, a dark one. Try one. If it doesn't work, the other one will. And he was just very happy and explained to him a couple places to go wading and how to catch fish and how to wade it. And they were having a ball. So anyway, Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
All I've got is some mangrove snapper, but that's about 6 days old. That's the last report I got there. I haven't heard anything over at Danger at all, unfortunately. But there again, I think the beautiful weather guys are actually going offshore to fish some of those reefs rather than staying inside.
Well, that's why when we did the remodel, I spent a ton of money on offshore lures. I spent a lot of money, boys and girls. I mean, we're talking, I spent tens of lots of dollars. And because a lot of people want to get out in the Gulf. And I'm actually looking for more and better and gooder stuff to use out there. Right. I do have on a sidetrack. Have you ever seen a crab lure work?
No.
A lure that looks like a crab. Soft plastic, hard bait, anything. Have you ever seen them actually work?
Personally witness them work? No. No.
I heard about anybody going, wow, this is great.
One customer that I actually believed, he got triple tail and permit one summer on them.
On which one?
The gulp.
The gulp crab.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a slash bait. You know, that's a right. Dead bait crab thing.
Right.
But I mean, on just a soft plastic crab or anything.
Nope.
Because, I mean, Akuma's or a Savage's got those awesome looking crabs. I mean, they look great.
The way their
super
legs
realistic.
Wiggle and everything else, they look amazing. Nope.
No, and even the gulp crab, I had one of the captains take me out. He was going to show me that this is the greatest lure ever, da-da-da-da. And I think we almost caught a fish after hours of throwing the damn thing.
Right. Yeah, no. I'm not convinced.
Because there's a new crab coming out on the market, and the guy was in showing them to me, and they're very realistic looking. Oh, this is going to be great on this and that. It's da-da-da-da. I'm like, but I don't really know that you could sell me another crab-shaped, you know, soft plastic bait.
Right.
Because the guys who would look at him, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, that looks really good. And then he's going to say, what do you think of it, Frank? I'm going to say, well, I've never seen one work.
Right.
And I'm really probably not going to sell many of them. And I think you're going to sell them to the guys that are like me, that keep looking at these crab lures, hoping that one day one's going to come out that is going to work.
Right. Well, it's like, and even that CW crab that was out years ago that was like the hard shell but had the softer legs on
right.
It that was raw rigged. We sold quite a few of them for a very short period of time because they were beautiful, realistic looking, but nobody caught anything on them, so they just kind of fizzled out.
Because the guys were in trying to sell me those crab baits. And then a guy came in asking me because he saw it on the internet. Oh, it looks great. I said, yep, sure does.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. Sure does.
Yeah, I don't know.
I said, why don't you buy some on the internet and give me a report?
There you go.
He said, what do you mean? I said, man, I have a hard time because I got to buy hundreds of dollars worth to get them.
Right.
And I'm just not, at this moment in life, I'm not going to spend a few hundred dollars. I usually don't mind putting a few hundred bucks into lures, see if they work, especially smaller companies.
Yeah.
Like Marker 54. I really like the guy. Right. And it's a good lure.
It's a nice lure.
And he's out of Texas, little factory, you know, little bait company. And I don't mind supporting that. So I throw a few hundred into that just to support another little business.
Mm-hmm.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm okay with that.
Right.
But, you know, this is, I have a hunch it's a bigger company because they hired a rep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got a rep. So.
Yeah, but there's some long money in Texas, so that doesn't
work. I don't know where this crab comes from.
Oh, the
it could come from overseas or could come from anywhere. Marker 54 is a little company, no reps, no nothing.
You just
nothing.
Jumped from that to that, so.
Right, I'm sorry. But, no, the owner personally came in the store.
Right, okay.
Met him, talked to him, shook hands, ordered a bunch of stuff. On a handshake deal, he sent me a few hundred bucks worth of shrimp, and the Marker 54 shrimp really worked out. And it was all on a handshake, and I sent him the check for the baits, and we're selling a few. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
But this other one, there's a rep group involved, and the distributors and factories and all this. I'm thinking, on a crab, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that.
No.
I don't mind it when it's a little guy. I can throw my money out there to help a smaller company get started and get going. I'm the first one in Florida to carry them. But a bigger company... Yeah, let somebody buy them off the internet and see if they work first.
Yeah, they can be the guinea pigs instead of you.
Let them guinea pig them, you know, because they'll spend, what, 10, 20 bucks?
Right.
I got to spend several hundred.
Yeah, you got to be the canary that dies.
Yeah. All right, Gasparilla Sound.
Gasparilla Sound's ate up with fish. Both sides, the backside of Boca Grande, Whidden Bay, all the way up to Placida, basically. Trout. Nothing big, but... trout, at least, ladyfish, some mangrove snapper, lots of sheep's head cruising along the bushes and along the docks of the backside of Boca Grande. Been some redfish piled up also along those docks and even along the mangroves along Whidden Creek and Catfish Creek. There has been one loose school that's supposedly been cruising around sandfly area on those flats there, the tailing flats, whatever you want to call them, and an assortment of snook, but mostly small guys. But good mixed bag of stuff all through there. You know, it's definitely a place where you're going to go to bend a rod. It may not all be quality fish, but there's a good enough numbers and assortment of fish. That would be probably my area where I'd be personally going fishing. Just getting too many good reports of an assortment there. And it's all mostly on shrimp. You know, Danny, talking to him earlier today when he popped in, he's been catching some pretty nice snook somewhere down in that area, and he said he actually found a little bit of white bait. He said he caught some trout on it, one little peanut snook, but all the bigger snook he got that day were all on shrimp. He said it would have bit him in the butt the next day because he was going to go try to catch a little bit more white bait if he could, and he was glad he brought shrimp with him because the shrimp literally caught everything over the few white bait that he did have again.
Well, the truth of the matter is, if you're going to go out fishing right now with the water temperature the way it is, you'll catch six fish on shrimp for every one fish you'll catch on whitebait.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as the water gets warmer, you can still catch some fish on shrimp, but you're going to get 6-1 on whitebait versus shrimp.
Right.
You've got to change your baits as the time of year goes by. But shrimp is a phenomenal bait. The closer to 60 degrees it gets, the better shrimp work. Everything Absolutely. Is going to eat it. It digests easier. It's just a cold weather natural food. Now, you can use shrimp or white bait to catch fish all year. But if you change it around a little bit, you're going to catch more fish. You're going to get that consistent catching going rather than the consistent fishing.
Right.
And that's the hard thing for people who are... They want to know, what's the best bait? Well, what's the water temperature? How's the clarity? All this. because sometimes dead bait works way better than anything live, whether it's dead shrimp or dead crabs or dead fish. Sometimes you want to use dead bait.
Absolutely.
But sometimes you just want to use a nice live shrimp. Sometimes a dead shrimp. But
just change it up.
Placida pier.
That's been incredible for sheep's head. I mean, that's pretty much the main thing I'm hearing about is sheep's head there. There's been an incidental flounder, an incidental mangrove snapper, but guys are just mainly focused on the sheep's head there without a doubt. And that's along the entire trestle, whether you're from the shore or in a boat. It's definitely a sheep's head fishing going on. And they were nice fish. There's some 15 to 18 inch fish coming out of there. So it's been pretty decent.
Well, I'm just really surprised by all the fish that are holding up. And if you're in a boat, you don't have to go to the section that has people standing on it. Go to one of the broken down sections. Now, the cool part is, if you're kind of good with a boat, you should be able to get up there and let the nose swing kind of by one of those sections to see if there's deeper water there, because the water's pretty clear. So you can actually do kind of a sweep by, drift by, and see what's there. And if you don't see anything that looks really good, go on down to the next one, do the same thing. And if you see something, swing back around so you're away from it, a good cast away.
Right.
And then pitch back into it. Don't go right up where you can see them, they can see you. That's not how those fish are going to want to bite. You'll get a couple of the dumb ones, but you're not going to get many.
No.
I mean, there's only so many that aren't smart enough to, you know, move out of... anyway, a lot just of dumb fish. Yeah. You, most of them just aren't going to bite. But if you're back a ways, you can actually get those fish to turn on, they'll bite, and the bite will stay going longer. The closer you are to them, the shorter the bite's going to be. Lemon Bay, Stump Pass. Lemon Bay. The last one was Placida. Now we're at Lemon Bay.
Nice. There's been some trout up in there, but the main thing I've been hearing about is all the redfish and the snook that are in the, along the docks and
it's
in the
canals. It's kind of cool, all the cameras around the outside of the building.
Yeah.
You know, watching the cars come in and go, people coming in and go. I mean, we've literally got cameras all the way around the building. I mean, you get within a block of this place, I can tell you what color your underwear is. But
yeah, it's pretty cool.
I was just looking up the monitors, watching the people come and go and stuff.
I can just see movement, unfortunately, from this angle.
Yeah, but you're blind.
I know.
I can't hear. You can't see.
I know. We're great. Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder.
Yeah. I don't remember which one of us is which, but...
Don't matter. Both SOL.
I'm definitely going to be pulling whichever one Gene Wilder is because of my hair lately.
Yeah.
Definitely got Gene Wilder hair going on.
Yeah, this is true.
All right. So anyway, Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay, the trout have been okay, but few and far between. The guys that are catching a few bigger ones are actually catching them on pinfish. And the, the voodoo mullet. I've had a couple guys buying those voodoo mullet and fishing those. And then the redfish and the snook, all on shrimp underneath all the docks, behind, you know, on the islands, up in the canal systems.
You know, and I know how that got started, because a guy came in, he says, I need this bait, and it's jointed, it wiggles a whole bunch, and da-da-da-da. I said, well, why don't you try this one? Well, that's not... I said, give it a shot. I think you're going to be really surprised. Yeah. And I know he's from Englewood.
Okay.
And I think he told another guy who told another guy who told another guy, because we're out of voodoo mullet.
We're out of them big
completely.
Time.
Completely. And we normally sell quite a few of them. But in the last month or so, I think that's how it got started. That one guy who came in, and he wasn't looking for that, but I was telling him he's going to be shocked at the action on that voodoo.
All right.
And
that is probably where it came from, because we've gotten clobbered on them in the last
all
few
of a
weeks.
Sudden, the last week or so, they just, they're gone.
Yeah.
And every color, every one. And believe it or not, I like the rainbow trout one the best.
Yeah.
Because it's got that pink on it.
Yeah.
And this time of year, having that, you know, black, white, you know, fish colors, and then having that bit of pink on it, that little bit extra, man, they go for it.
To me, it kind of resembles a little baby trout. I think that's, you know, a lot of fish eat trout, including bigger trout. And I think that's why it's kind of appealing to me. You know, but I like any lure that's got a little bit of pink on it anyway. The only one I don't like is the electric chicken. The electric chicken and the paddle tail, I can't catch anything on that one. I can't catch a fish on that to save my life.
Now, I've caught a lot of different fish in electric chicken, but there's a difference now because people are getting that confused with the nuclear chicken.
Right.
And they're two different one's kind of green and almost a reddish,
right,
and the other one's kind of the lighter color chartreuse with the pink,
right. See, and I can catch one on the bomber electric chicken, but nope, not on that shad tail, nothing.
Well, let's go to Anger Pier.
A lot of sheep's head have been the main focus there, and the Tom Adams Bridge, a few mangrove snapper, a couple of little tiny whiting, a couple of snook there at night, but the sheep's head have been the dominant force there without a doubt. You know, especially casting, or the guys fishing underneath the bridge have been doing phenomenally well on the sheep's head there.
You're saying whiting and what else?
Little whiting.
Yeah.
Nothing special. A few snook at night. And then a couple of mangrove snapper also. One guy had a flounder on, but he said it got off. He said it would have been his first flounder in Florida, but it shook off next to the dock. You know, that's always the fun stories. He's like, I've been fishing here for years, caught flounder my whole life. Growing up as a kid, I had no clue that you could catch flounder down here. People always told me stories, but I finally saw one, but I didn't quite land them.
All right.
He called it a fluke, though, because they have teeth. I'm like, okay.
Oh, I'm doing a separate thing here for the Venice jetties. You got anything for them?
Sheep's head and mangrove snapper. One guy got into a couple of black sea bass there the other day, which I thought was pretty interesting. I haven't heard of those in quite some time. But definitely the sheep's head have been great. A couple of kids have been doing some big snook there at night on the those flare hawk bucktails that we were carrying. Which, you know, kind of, it always surprises me this time of year when you hear a guy catch a 40-incher or whatever off the jetties this time of year. He's so associated with
somebody was telling me Sharky's is picked up doing a little better. I haven't got any reports from there.
Yeah.
But I heard they're actually got more people showing up. Go Sharky's. We got to drive up there and have a meal sometime.
Okay.
Have you ever eaten there?
Yeah. It's been 5 years or better since I've eaten up there. It was one of the trips when Mom was down with the family.
I've literally never been there.
Really?
Never. I've never been to Sharky's Pier.
You wouldn't recognize it now.
I wouldn't recognize it because I've never seen it.
Well, I mean, you've never been to the pier itself or just the restaurant?
Either one.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Then, yeah, it's all new to you. No, they've built a... They've changed the parking. They've built a secondary restaurant next to it, and it's two stories. It's like a stilt building, basically. Underneath it is like an open air mall with like several different shops. It's become like a super tourist attraction.
Very cool for them.
The restaurant up on top is high end. It's called Finn's.
Very cool for them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're that much different than anything else. I know they're big time now, but they put a lot of work, sweat, and effort into that place.
And the county is the one that's always owned it and always put the money into the pier and the free license and everything else. So it's kind of cool that the county is spending money and you're actually seeing a good result out of it.
Hmm. I'll have to go up there and look. If you're driving around someday, it might not be a bad place. I go up to Venice. There's several restaurants on the water up there that I go to. Mm-hmm. Just never been to that one. I don't know why.
Because you can't get to it by boat.
I think that's it. Because when I go to Venice to go to the restaurants, I always go by boat.
Right.
Yeah.
That would explain it.
I think I've only driven there one time, maybe twice in a car to go eat somewhere.
Yeah. No.
All right. So anyway, the Gulf of Mexico, what's going on out there?
Incredible. From 3 miles to 20 miles, lane snapper, mangrove snapper, grunts, porgies, some very, very good sheep's head on a lot of those nearshore reefs. It doesn't matter if it's Helens, Mary's, Novak, Trembly, Charlotte Rocks, even the Palm Island Ferry, which is out of, 12 miles out of Stump Pass. That's got some good quality sheep's head on it. And then the guys that are going out farther, you know, the gag gripper closed on the first, so there's a few people that are disappointed because they finally just started to cooperate with biting. But 30 to 40 miles out, they're getting some nice, nice red grouper, some pretty good gag grouper that are releasing, and some AJs, which I think AJs are also closed now, but one guy said he had some 50 pounders coming up and blowing up on his topwater that he was throwing out there just to try to get them. And got one, and he said it was about 35 pounds. But he said some of those fish were just amazingly large. You know, so, and then there's also been a couple reports of a couple miscellaneous sharks out there, which I believe most of them are sandbars this time of year. You know, when you hear those 5 to 6 foot quote-unquote bull sharks, they're usually sandbars this time of year because they follow those mullet in from their migration and their spawn offshore. They'll slowly creep back in towards shore, so you'll start to hear guys catching a sandbar at all the different little reefs out there.
Heard of any bonita, blackfin, nothing. Anything like that?
Okay. Nothing at all.
Where would you go out for red grouper?
That's 75 to 110 feet of water, basically at 30 to 40 miles out is where they're catching the bigger ones, like 26, 28, you know, good size, what they call fire trucks. You know, the 20 to 22 inch range, there's been a few being caught in that 60 feet of water, but the bigger ones definitely been out there in that 80 to 110, 120 feet of water.
Okay, all right, let's see. Get down to the next one here. And doing passes. So we kind of did Venice, so let's go with Stump Pass.
Stump Pass has had a few guys catching a couple of flounder, some sheep's head, a couple of very small whiting but inconsistent. Some big lizard fish moved in there, I guess. Guy was telling me that's all he kept catching. He said the one guy next to him kept catching sheep's head, and he's catching lizard fish. I'm like, that's funny. Was he doing something different? He says, nope, we were both using shrimp. I'm like, okay. That's just your luck that day.
And luck is a big deal. Mm-hmm. You could be literally 20 feet apart from somebody. You're catching a lizard fish. They're catching sheephead. And the guy leaves, and you go over to his sheephead spot, cast right in there, and catch another lizard fish.
Yeah. Oh, I've done that many times off of El Jobin.
Gasparilla.
Gasparilla, I have not heard anything in Gasparilla except for the docks right there as you come in. There's been some redfish on them and some sheep's head. But the actual pass itself, other than it's filling in and it's getting harder and harder to navigate out, that's all I keep hearing about. Which is, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's kind of a sandwich, is that what you call it?
Yeah, good witch, bad witch, or a sandwich.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because I was trying to explain to people about what's going to happen in Boca Grande Pass. And they said, well, the hole hasn't filled in. I said, we're not talking about the hole inside the pass. Little Gasparilla Pass has a big, deep hole in it.
It's got a 16-foot hole.
Real shallow everywhere around that.
Yeah.
Captiva's got a big hole in it, but it's real shallow outside.
Yep.
And eventually, over the next few years, I mean, they dredged it for a long, long time. You're going to go through that deep hole and go up. Instead of being 30 feet going out, it's going to be 11, 12 feet.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it was in 1911 when they first started dredging Boca Grande Pass. I mean, history teaches us one thing. You know, any of these
that
idiots,
we don't read history or want to erase it.
Yeah, we want to erase history. But just because, you know,
it didn't happen.
Yeah, it never happened. Close your eyes and you know, whirl around and click your, you know, gumball shoes together 8 times and say it never happened, it never happened. If you don't have a starting point, if you don't know where you are and where you started, you're never going to go where you want to go. You'll just end up coming around a circle.
Yep.
You always circle back, because nobody on the planet walks straight ahead. If you're left-handed, you're going to walk around in a big circle to the right. If you're right-handed, you're going to walk around a big circle to the left. But you'll both end up right back where you started.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, you know, and that's why I think I love history, is because you can see what's going to happen. Okay, this is what we did for 80 years. Now we stopped. Well, how do you guess what's going to happen? Well, what was it like before you did what you did?
Right.
It's like me. Global warming, 100% on board with it. Absolutely, the planet's getting warmer. It has been for 10,000 frickin' years. That's what ended the Ice Age, for God's sakes. Anybody with half a brain knows that global warming is real, or we would still be have a mile and a half, 2 miles of ice glacier formed over Illinois and New York and every other state up there. Canadians would never be have existed.
Nope.
Because it took global warming to melt the glaciers. Right. The glaciers have been melting for over 10,000 years. Gee, but it all only started 20 years ago. God, pick up a history book, you idiots. Even if it's wrong, it's still going to get you closer than where you are.
Yeah.
You got to think past your last Facebook post. Oh, I saw that on Facebook yesterday. Yeah, right. Go get a book. Try a library.
Right.
All right. Getting back to fishing, Boca Grande Pass.
Sheep's head. A lot of guys catching sheep's head from the shore there. Baby Jewfish, baby glide grouper, whatever you want to call them. Baby gag grouper, a couple of sandbar sharks, a couple of bonnet head sharks.
It's much easier to spell Jewfish than Goliath.
I agree with you.
So, I'm sorry. You got the three-letter Jewfish here. Not because I care which one it is, but me typing Goliath takes a lot longer than Jewfish.
Okay. No, I agree.
Go ahead.
A couple of bonnet heads, a couple of sandbar sharks. There's been some schools of ladyfish cruising through there with a couple small schools of jacks. I've heard of one Spanish mackerel and one bluefish this week. That's it. You know, little mixed gamut of stuff, but most of the guys are just surf fishing, catching the sheep's head. That's been their primary objective.
All right. Is there any sense of doing a walk in the beaches? Because you just did that. Is there any other beaches?
Not really. Not that I've heard anything special about.
Okay. I'll fill in with whatever the Fort Myers store brings us.
That works.
Ponderosa, Sanibel?
The only thing I've heard about down there, honestly, has been some snook and redfish underneath the docks. I didn't hear anything about the causeway or anything else other than a couple guys caught some big redfish and a handful of snook. They said the water is super, super clear down there, though. They said it looked like a swimming pool the day they were down there fishing. They said it was one of the clearest days they've seen in a long time down there.
Oh, yeah. Well, as you've mentioned before, after a pretty good red tide, it kills a lot of the bacteria and algae that rely on oxygen for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get super clear water after a red tide.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were pretty impressed by it.
Yeah, the one captain in here today, start calling him to get some more reports. Anything on the Coosahatchee?
I got nothing.
All right, we'll leave that for the Fort Myers guys. Cape Coral?
Nothing.
All right. Maybe I'll do a separate little report with Vinny for all these places.
There you go.
I'll give him a call and try and get a show recorded. All right. Matt Lachey?
Matt Lachey's been ate up with sheep's head, some snook, few mangrove snapper, and then the immediate area around Matt Lachey. That's all right off the bridge. Snook, redfish, a few small trout, and some flounder north and south of the Matt Lachey bridge, fishing the bushes and some of those deeper sand holes. It's been really, really good. One guy was flipping out because he said it's probably one of the best sheep's head seasons he's seen there, and he's been living down there for about 7 years. He was pretty excited about it. And he was looking for fiddler crabs when he came in. But he actually bought some fish bites because you sold him fish bites last year when they were hard to get. So he says when he gets frustrated with the shrimp or can't catch a couple mangrove crabs, he always goes to that fish bites because it will catch him a few. He said he didn't have enough confidence in it to sit there all day with it, but he said it does actually work. Which we already knew that to begin with, but still always fun when you get a little feedback on something.
Well, it's just like the couple today. They want to take jigs out fishing in the Gulf of Mexico, but you can't put squid on jigs.
Nope, not legally.
legally put a live squid on a jig head or a dead squid or pinfish or anything else.
No, because it's a jig head.
It's a J hook.
Right.
And there, if you're going to use bait, you have to use a circle hook once you're bottom fishing in the Gulf. Now, amberjacks and all that stuff, different story. But grouper, snapper, that kind of things, you got to use circle hooks if you're going to use bait. But you can put gulp or fish bites, and I prefer the fish bites, on down there, and you can use your bucktail jigs, you can do anything, because it's not real bait. But it works like real bait.
Works unbelievably.
Smells like bait, tastes like bait, it is bait. You know, if it walks like a bait, quacks like a bait, swims like a bait, it's probably a bait. Okay. All right.
I was thinking in my head that same saying, but I couldn't remember how the saying went.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about a quack. I can't remember what it was, and then you started going with it.
Yeah, it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck.
Yeah. It was just funny because, I mean, that same exact thing was going through my head, but all I got was the quack. I'm like, where does it go? How does it work? And you start rattling it.
Well, we've been working together for over 20 years.
It's just funny.
I've seen you more than any other person.
Oh, my gosh.
In my life.
Yes.
So,
me too.
You know, I mean, I don't know. We're still here.
Hey, that's all good. I think it's awesome.
So, anyway, Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound's doing pretty fair. All along the bushes, especially from the shack south, been some decent snook and redfish. From the shacks north, out on the open flats all the way up to Mondongo, has been some trout, mostly on the smaller side. A couple of small sharks, bonnet heads, bulls, and black tips, just kind of little, you know, 3 foot and less. And then the... been a few pompano up there towards Mondongo and what's that other little spot up there above it? Patricio, which I don't know how to spell that at all.
Patricio.
Sounds about right.
Patricio. It didn't even give me a red line.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Wow, that was really screwed up. We're not even going to bother with that one.
Yeah, when spell check gives up on you, you know, you probably have really gone farther than the computer can handle when spell check goes, I don't care anymore.
I quit. Little white rag came out of the screen at you.
I surrender. I don't care anymore. Spell however you want. Junk Creek Shoals.
I've got nothing there, honestly.
Okay. Burnt Store, Two Pines?
Further down towards Two Pines have been the better reports. There's been some redfish and snook, a few pompano. The trout I've been hearing about have been small down there, but it's mainly been the snook and the redfish along the bushes. And there's been a couple schools of, not schools, but... loose groups of big snook down that way.
Loose groups of big snook.
Well, guys are seeing two and four.
I couldn't said that any better. I actually typed it. No red lines either.
Nice. Yeah, guy says, oh, I saw one group at four, one group at two. So I wouldn't necessarily call it schools of them.
I think that's the perfect phrase. Loose groups. I feel like a loose group. All right. Okay.
I feel like a loose screw that's been stripped out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing that gets me is people come in and apply for a job, and they say, well, you hire? And I say, well, yeah, maybe. Just check back every once in a while. And they give me their name and phone number and never come back in and never say another word about it.
Nope.
And I'm like, okay, that was a whim. I don't, you know, that's not something they're really interested in. When Pegleg, he says, you know, thinking about it, well, he started the day of the tent sale.
Yeah, talk about jumping right into the fire. And,
but, I mean, he went to work. He got all the hours he wanted. You know, he was there. He did it. And I don't get it. If you really would like a job working in a bait shop like this, you got to kind of come in, hang out a little bit, you know, get to know a couple of the guys, and then they're going to say, hey, well, Frank, you know, like, yeah, why don't you hire this guy?
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of funny how that works.
I mean, little Emily. You know, she was in every night going fishing and everything else. And, you know, finally you're like, what are you doing? Well, you know, I go fishing every night. I said, well, why don't you work here?
Right.
You know? And I said, let me know. Think about it. Well, she was back the next day. Yeah, I'd like a job here, you know. Yeah. You know, it's just funny. Some people actually follow up, and other people, I guess they just want you to sit at home and call them and say, would you please come to work?
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty sad.
Well, you know, they're not going to, when you say, okay, well, you know, now that you're done talking to the customer, you know, we got to dust the product, we got to sweep the floor, we clean the bait tanks, you know, there's a lot of work to do in this place. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're talking to a customer, that's all good. I don't care if the guys in here sit, if somebody wants to buy a dollar pack of hooks or just ask questions and not buy anything, and they talk to them for an hour, I'm all in, 100% good with that. That's the whole idea behind it. But if there's nobody there to talk to and you're just standing there, my definition of, you know, paying somebody is that the store should be a little better because they were here.
Right.
If all you do is sit and talk, you're not really helping. You know, I got to sweep the floor, clean the bait tanks, do all that stuff. You know, I have all my jobs I do as well as everybody else. And if I can do it, what's wrong with them?
Well, and that's what I've explained that to a few guys. I'm like, you see Frank out there in the parking lot hauling those garbage cans? You see him unloading a pallet? He doesn't ask us to do anything that he isn't willing to do. So why are you standing around? You know, he'll freely do all that. And they kind of look at you like, huh? It's like he's not one of those bosses that just says do this and you never see him lift a finger. He's actually one of those bosses that's almost unheard of, where he actually goes out and busts his butt sometimes, most of the time, 10 times harder than we do.
Well, it's not even about that. It's just, you know, there's supposed to be a whole give and take. I give you money, you make my store a little better.
Right.
So, yeah, I know this is a weird fishing report, but you're listening to Fish and Frank's thing. What did you expect?
Yeah.
Like, I was going to stay on topic. And we're going to just talk through a fishing report. There's a
little button you can slide the bar a little bit and fast forward. Yeah,
just take your little mouse thing or your finger and just click forward, you know? The nice thing about a podcast is when we do our WKDW show and all that, we stay there and we talk about the topics and do all that. But this is our show. This is me and Robert. We get to sit and talk. We never get to really talk very often, no. Anyway. So, anyway.
You're in the driveway when you take me home.
Yeah, that's about it. So, all right, Eastside.
Eastside has been probably the busiest it has been in a long time. Mostly the back creeks are where a lot of guys are having their better success with a few bigger snook and consistent redfish. Out on the outer edges around the little islands, snook, small snook, some smaller redfish. A few trout have been inside on the bar, but there's just like little pockets of them, and you got to work hard to find them. There has been some pompano on the outside of the bar on occasion, closer towards Pirate Harbor, but inconsistently. They've just been there and then ghosts for several days and then back again. There has been a lot of small jacks cruising on the inside trough also along there, and they're small, like 2 to 4 pounders. But still a pleasant surprise if you're drifting along looking for trout and you get railed by something unexpected.
Well, it's the one thing about the east side. You can be sitting there with a shrimp under a popping cork, and all of a sudden you caught a few trout, and then it's a black, a shark, uh-huh. And then a cobia hits, and then it's a flounder, and you don't know. Yeah. It's a very weird flat for... Yeah, this is probably what I'm going to do. But then all of a sudden, it surprises you.
Yes.
It really does. And shrimp under a cork is kind of a... Right now, your best way to catch trout, I would say, is a tandem rig. The DOA Deadly Tandem. Tandem as in two, like tandem axle. And it's... You basically cast them out and start jigging it as you slowly reel it in. Lifting your rod tip up, laying your rod tip back down, lift your rod tip up, lay your rod tip back down while you're reeling in. And that chasing action of the two, and slowly reel it just enough to keep it working. They're curl tails, so even slow, they still put out a nice little vibration. And but once you get tired of that casting and retrieving, casting and retrieving, it does get tiring. You can put on the popping cork and that DOA deadly combo with the shrimp under it. Mm-hmm. And then all you do is pop it every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's a great way to take a break from casting and retrieving, casting and retrieving.
Yeah.
You're still fishing with a lure, but you can kind of let it hang out for a while and give it a pop. And let it hang out there for a while and give it another pop. And still catch pretty much all the same type of fish.
Absolutely.
But your numbers are going to go way up if you use the tandem rigs, the double curl tail on one line.
You're covering more ground. You're covering a lot more ground, so you tend to pick up a lot more fish.
Well, good point. But I think it's the chasing action. I think they really, when the two lures are going one after the other right next to each other, just blah, 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 I think it just gets them excited.
I can see that too. Absolutely.
Right. Alligator Creek.
They're having too much fun. I'm going to go eat them.
You know? Yeah. Look at, you're really enjoying yourself. All right. Boom.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I know how that feels. No way.
Yes.
You're really having a good time. Now you're not allowed to do that no more.
Right.
Okay. Alligator Creek.
Thanks, Mom. Oh, let's see. Alligator Creek's got
kinda
some big...
Add in, thanks FWC, thanks Obama, thank you, you know, yeah, this
a
county,
lot of different people.
And
yeah,
the state and the feds, and, you know, you're having too much fun. We're going to make a law against that.
Right.
Okay.
The Alligator Creek's got some pretty actually good-sized jacks up in there, especially as you get where it starts to narrow down where the boat yard is at and the restaurant starts. Going up towards the Burnt Store Isles Canal. Black Drum have been up in that area. Some snook, mangrove snapper, an occasional redfish, occasional juvenile tarpon, but it all seems to be in that far back end. The mouth of the creek itself, I have not heard of any trout at all.
Guy came in with one of the weirdest descriptions today, and I literally got a chart and said, could you show me what you're talking about? He says, you know, when you're heading out of the harbor where the island and it splits, you can go both ways. I'm going, really? An island in the harbor where it splits and you can go one way to Boca and one way to somewhere else? Pine Island.
Oh, geez. Wow.
He wanted to go down to Smokehouse Bay.
Okay.
He was wondering how the fishing was. He says, you know, you go down there by the island or you go the other way, because if you go the other way by the island, and it just, I couldn't picture it.
Nope.
It was Pine Island. I'm like,
that's an island, dude.
That's an island. I mean, he went 100% right on the money, but
wasn't a key or a mangrove spot. That's pretty impressive. But yeah,
I mean, he was dead on. It does why there. If you go one way, you go to Boca. You go the other way, you go to Bad Lachey. But it's just was a description I can usually translate pretty well.
Yeah, that one would have perplexed me too.
That would stump me. I was like, wow, okay. And then I was able to point out, okay, Smokehouse Bay here and that. He says, yeah. I said, no, you should be good down there. You'll have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I was just, man, perplexed.
Oh, I can imagine. That would have threw me for a loop.
Yeah, usually, you know, give me a sentence or two and kind of tell me. And it's a dingle that goes around the bingle here and it has this and that. And I can mostly figure out what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that one was tough. I had an easier time with the Oriental guy and the crabs.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, so did I.
Oh, you didn't get it at all.
No, I heard the crabs part.
Really? You got that?
Yeah, I got the crabs out of him.
Somebody else was standing there, too.
Josh.
Oh, yeah. He
Josh
was just
was lost.
Perplexed.
Yeah, Josh was... What was that?
Because the guy was really nice.
Super nice.
Super nice guy. But, I mean, English was a third language at best.
Yes. No doubt.
That was the worst pronunciation of crabs I've ever heard in my life. So anyway, but I thought after doing with that guy, I could translate anything. You know, I got, you know, figured out 3 dozen fiddler crabs, and I thought, man, I'm doing good. And that guy walked in with the island and the Y, and I'm like, huh? Okay, back to the drawing board. Ponce de Leon.
Actually, honestly, I have not heard anything there in 6 or 7 days.
All right. PGI canals.
Snook. A lot of snook in there. Mangrove snapper doing fairly well. And it's kind of a similar image to what was going over on the Port Charlotte side, where certain canals are like a ghost town and other canals are lit up like a Christmas tree. Black drum, a couple of redfish, a few sheep's head, you know, kind of a mixed assortment, but you literally, if you're not catching anything in this spot, move. It's not anything you're doing wrong. There's just little weird pockets where I don't know if the fish just aren't happy because it's warm on the surface and cool on the bottom. I'm just not sure what the little perplexing thing is going on that's making so many different little spots be vacant.
Yeah, but literally it's dead on the money. You've actually got to just work from one spot to the next spot, and if they're not under the dock you're at, just go to the next one. There might be all the fish in the world under it.
Yep, absolutely.
And all right, that's going to take us to Gilcrest Pier.
I've got crickets.
Okay. And Alligator Creek Reef.
Honestly, there's been just a few sheep's head and some mangrove snapper out there. It's been pretty quiet, surprisingly. Customer's in today. He's like, I drove by there. I fished it for a little bit. He said there's 4 boats sitting on the very southern end. None of them are catching anything, but I think they were just having a good time chatting with each other. Like, yeah, that kind of sums it up sometimes out there. I said, but there's other times when it gets really, really good. I said, right now, just a little odd.
Deep holes in the harbor?
I got nothing.
All right. Bait reports? I don't have any.
I got none. I mean, even our shrimpers can't catch pinfish right now. They haven't been able to get us pinfish in, what, 10 days, 2 weeks? And there's
pinfish on the flats, but you really got to kind of look for them. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're on all of the flats. You've got little pockets of pinfish here and there.
Yep. Kind of strange.
All right. Freshwater.
Freshwater is incredible right now. Bass fishing. I mean, where do you start? Basically, bass fishing in all of the canals right now are unbelievable. Some of them are going on to bed. Some of them are definitely in that pre-spawn feeding mode. I mean, 9 Mile Canal, Rotunda, even out at the Web, they've been getting some pretty decent bass up to like 3 pounds. And for there, that's not too bad. And then the crappie bite has been very good. Even though it's been warm, the crappie guys have still been doing very, very well in all the local canals.
Getting a lot of interest in Cecil Webb.
Yeah.
A lot of people going down to the Webb to fish.
Yeah. And I don't know Crazy. If that's because of the tilapia or the Mayan or the tilapia or the bluegill, but they've definitely been kind of excited about fishing there a lot lately. Pretty interesting. But no, it's been real good. Minnows, shiners, the soft plastic part of it for the bass right now, guys are buying a little bit of everything. It's not like they're focused on a worm or a frog or a spinnerbait. I mean, yeah, we sold a couple chatterbaits this week for bass fishing guys.
I'm calling up Bass Assassin and ordering all of their ribbon tail worms. We have such a hard time keeping the culprits up. I'm going to do the Bass Assassin. I'm going to try and get a hold of Charlie's. Okay. And I know they were bought by somebody, but I got to be able to find them somewhere and get some more ribbon tails from them.
Right.
Because they used to have a really good worm. Now, I don't know, because it's been bought and sold so many times, if they're still worth an iron.
Right.
I'm hoping to be able to get some samples.
Well, there you go. That'd be worth a try.
We've got a lot of gambler and stuff like that.
Been selling a lot of gambler.
Yeah, we go through a lot of gambler.
A lot it's of amazing. Gambler. Amazing. I mean, it's got a super, super big following in this area.
Anything on the tarpon reports?
Nothing. I know Rick was going out the other night to see if there was any in the past because of how warm it's been, but I haven't seen him since he went out. That was 2 nights ago.
The air temp got warm, but I don't think the water temp got really warm yet.
Yeah. It just wouldn't surprise me, though. You know, there should be some fishable fish in there, especially with the shrimp flowing the way they are. He took a dozen jumbos and a dozen handpicks with him out there, and he was going to go drift that pass at sunset and see what he could find.
I don't know if any of the, a lot of the stuff is shut down with the government shutdown.
Yeah. No tide flows, no.
The GIS stuff is all automated. The USGS, the water flows and that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's on autopilot.
Gotcha.
Peace River's down to 5 foot, flowing at 11:50. So no red tide possible in Charlotte Harbor right now. So that's cool.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. So we got our shield of invincibility going on the red tide.
Which is always a good thing.
Yeah. Anything? Where would you go if you just want to go out and have some fun? Catch some fish. Any fish.
Honestly, I'd probably go to either Placido or the Anger Pier. Just because of the amount of mixed variety of reports that I've been getting out there. You know, mostly sheep's head, but... You know, the occasional flounder, you know, the mangrove snapper, just the mixed gamut of stuff that's been going on out along that intercoastal. That's kind of where I'd go.
You know, I've been working in this bait shop too long. I'm used to those little flies. Yeah. I just, a little fly in my coffee, just reach in, pick it out. Yeah. It's like, really? Yeah. God, did I get redneck? After 34 years, I'm not willing to give up my coffee or the little gnat.
I don't blame you.
So Placido and Anger Pier,
yeah,
both those would be good just to go out, and they're both on the intercoastal.
Yeah,
I haven't heard of many of the piers around here really doing good. I'm going to say your best bet's probably Lashley, believe it or not. And once they get that north end of the bridge opened up, that's going to be a great fishing area.
Yeah, it looks if very, and when very they promising. Ever
get it done, but right. I'm actually impressed they're trying to do what they're trying to do. Although, if they would have just rerouted it a little bit, it would have been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. 20 more feet further out, it would have been perfect.
Yeah. Two bridge sections out, bring it around in front of there and raise it up as you came out. It would be amazing pier. That pier is going to be shut down after the first good storm blows in on the west. It's going to break that section down underneath that bridge.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
But, I think if I was going to take a boat out, I think Cape Hayes or Turtle Bay, Bull Bay would be probably the most efficient for catching fish. But if I was going to go out, I'd be looking either in the Cutoff, Cattle Dock Point, or Tippy Canoe. Because there's not going to be a lot of boats there. You're going to catch some fish. If you put a little effort into it, you might have to try a couple different rigs. A lot of times what I'm doing there is drifting, and I put a float or a popping cork, whatever, just as a bobber out. But I've got it down so it's going to be within a couple inches of the bottom. So sometimes I can't even cast it.
Right.
It's literally 5 feet below the bobber.
Right.
So I can just get a nice slow drift going across there and pick up some nice fish doing that. And when I get over by the mangroves, I'll just cast up underneath the mangroves, try for a snook and a redfish, and I don't get anything. Just fire up, head back to the upwind or up current, and do it again.
Drift it again, absolutely. That sounds like very promising.
And because I think I've developed an escapism fishing tactics where I'm not really...
Houdini fishing.
Yeah, not really going fishing. We're Houdini fishing nowadays. Because I was wondering why I'm not catching all these big fish and stuff, because I used to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I'm escaping the world by going fishing, not going fishing to catch fish, going to fishing to get away from everybody.
Yeah, decompressing.
So, I guess that's okay.
No, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Anyway,
I tell people all the time, they're like, what do you mean you don't eat fish? I'm like, I can spend $10 in bait and go fish all day, or $400 an hour with a shrink, and maybe accomplish the same thing. Fishing it is.
I think 1 out of 10,000 shrinks are actually worth talking to, because most of them are people who got really screwed up and really had a lot of problems and decided they were going to help other people not have these problems, and really, I guess having some experience is a good thing maybe, but no.
Right.
I'm sorry, no. There's some guy in here wanting to pray for me, and I'm like, sorry, bud, don't do that. I think believing in God is great. My only problem is I don't want to get paid for doing a good deed.
Right.
And I think if I believe in heaven. That means everything I do good, I'm going to get paid for. I'm going to get to go to heaven. And I just don't think I should get paid for doing the right thing.
No.
I just, it's a weird thing in my head, but I decided I was going to do what I thought was right, what I thought is the good thing to do, and I don't want anything for it. I don't need to go to heaven. I don't need to go to hell. I don't need any of that. All I want is just to be able to do the best I can.
Right.
And do as good as I can and that, but I don't want a reward for it. I think that's
the way it should be.
It's just a weird quirk in my head I developed one day, and I can't get it out of my head. And I really admire people who are very religious and want to go to heaven and do all that, but I can't get there. I just don't think that I should be rewarded for doing what I think is the right thing anyway.
Right.
So
no, there's nothing wrong with that thought process.
Yeah, I don't know.
There really isn't, because, I mean, if you believe you're doing the right thing because it's who you are and what you believe in, and you're not doing it with any malicious intent and not wanting it for any greed intent,
What's wrong with that? I don't know. It's just so something that fell into my head and I can't get it out.
It's against the rest of society's thought that they all think, well, I should have, you know, if
but
I
it's
do
just
a good
like
deed,
with the redfish. I was right and the world was wrong.
Right.
It was three minor little micro red tides for 3 years that knocked the redfish population down. We didn't get it last year. Now we got a ton of little redfish. I was right. The world was wrong. Maybe I'm right about this too, but I doubt it. But anyway, this is Frank. That's Robert. And enough chatter here. Thank you guys for listening. We enjoy you. We appreciate you guys as customers. I may complain and grumble a bit about different things, but really, this is a nice life. And thank you guys for helping us be able to maintain it.
Absolutely.
So we will see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Boy, I hope your new year goes well. Ours is starting off nice. The new store, the new digs, everything. And, man, just so many cool people.
A lot of really cool people lately.
It has been fun. I mean, really, really fun with the customers that have been coming in. And somebody said, well, you know, you had to work the holidays. You work Christmas. You work New Year's Day. I'm like, I don't know. I cannot think of another place I would rather be on a holiday than working in this store.
Bora Bora in one of those huts that you can see through
the
floor.
Yeah, with the little native thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
But back to reality.
That's gone.
So
reality, I can get there either. This is I'm too old for the native girl, so, you know.
Right? No, this is definitely...
Yeah, that's probably a 30-year-ago dream.
In the reality 20 years of things, ago dream. This is definitely the best thing to do.
In the real world, reality-wise, I think I'd rather be right here. You know, I'm finding I don't do well outside this store. I don't do well out when I go out the real world.
Stay in your shell, Frank.
I just stay in my little hidden place here. It's way better in here than it is out there.
It's a good little bubble.
It's
I
a wonderful
agree.
Bubble. All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up. Let me get some music going so we'll actually shut up and go away. Well, boys and girls, that has been another adventure of Fishman and Torpid. Tune in next week for same fish time, same fish channel, for more of the adventures. Will Frank ever shut up? Will Robert discover that? No, he won't. I won't. Okay. See you guys. Bye.
Jeez.
Yeah, okay. Hit the button.
That was fun.